Hello, everybody. Terrence Lehew here with another episode of the Intellectual Agrarian Podcast, where we talk philosophy from the farm. Our guest today is Jason Contreras from Sow the Land in Asheville, North Carolina. Together, we'll be discussing his transition from a California cubicle to homesteading in North Carolina. We'll also talk about the Mother Earth News Fair there, digital skills for homesteaders, and much more. Let's get on to this interview with Jason Contreras. Jason Contreras, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Let's start off with learning a little bit about your homestead. What do you raise? How many acres?
We are on 1.5 acres, and you know, we're in the mountains of North Carolina, just outside of Asheville, and we have about a 1,700 square foot garden. We like to try to do the no-till method, and we've been raising 30 meat birds at a time. So we'll do like pasture poultry. We'll run them on a chicken tractor, and we'll do 30 at a time. Well, we have been doing 30 at a time. So we'll do like 60 for the entire year. And so basically spring and summer, we'll raise our own meat birds and we'll butcher them here and put them in our freezer. But this year we're doing something a little bit different. We're raising more in hopes that maybe I could sell a few, maybe to some friends here and there, but we're raising 60 at one time. First time raising that many in one shot. So I have 2 chicken tractors now, and I'm raising, each of those have 30 meat birds inside of them, and I'm just moving them out every day on the grass. And we have a small hoop house / greenhouse that I made next to our garden, and you know, basically just to start some seeds in, and maybe some grow some tomatoes in there. And then we also have another what I call an eggmobile chicken tractor, where we have about 8 egg layers, and those are basically just eggs for ourselves, for our family. And we also have a small creek in the back of our property, which I'm still trying to figure out how to utilize a little bit more, but it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice to go out there and when it's hot and just kind of hang out in the creek. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're in a small mobile home on our property. And then I have like a small workshop. It was basically a shed that I brought in and converted it into like a wood shop / workshop. Yeah, and that's about it. I'm pretty, I mean, compared to a lot of people that I meet, it's pretty small and minimal homestead here.
Easier to manage, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if I mean, I guess it would be nice to have maybe 1 more acre. But like, this is a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Even just the 1.5 acres that we're on, I feel like we're utilizing all of it, which I think is pretty nice. I think that's key to utilize everything that you can. And it's a lot of work. We're basically like a square. So like our property is just like a square. So we have a little bit of trees at the edge of it. But mainly it's just all grass. And so, but yeah, it's just a lot of work, and you know, we're slowly, I mean, that's been our goal from day one, is just to kind of not get over our heads and slowly, you know, only, you know, we only have what we need, and just trying to figure it all out and try to manage it all. So I think 1.5 acres is a perfect like starter homestead.
Well, and there's a lot to be said for that, because a mistake a lot of homesteaders make that I've met over the years is that they go too big too quickly. They see a Joel Salatin style farm and they try being that right away. The fact is, you have to work your way up to that level. You can't just start there and be successful, usually. It takes learning the systems, because it's not just a matter of reading it out of a book. It's actual practical application on your farm in your context.
Oh, definitely. Like, I've met many people that have moved in this area, and yeah, they just get way over their heads, and they're just getting all these animals, and they're getting acres and acres, and next thing you know, they're getting burnt out. They're now they're trying to get rid of animals because they just can't, you know, they just can't handle it all, and it's just too much work, it's too much money, you know, it's just like just too much all at once. And like, I'm very like adamant about like just baby steps, you know, like we're, you know, we're not used to, you know, we came from the city, so we're not used to like big animals. I mean, even just growing food is kind of new, was kind of new to us, and raising meat chickens, like everything's new. So I figured like, let's just try to be minimal as possible and just go slow and just try to learn these things. And then just kind of like, my goal is to be, I want to be efficient, like growing vegetables, you know, like really efficient at it, really like what I feel is like good, you know, like, I mean, there's always room for growth and learning, but like, I feel like we could get better at it. And I want to focus on that. And then, you know, also our meat birds, I really enjoy moving the chicken tractor every day, you know, and raising chicken, and I really enjoy that. And I feel like I want to be efficient at that too. And I feel like once we're, I feel that we're efficient at these two things, then maybe we can move on to like maybe a little bit bigger animal, you know? But I feel it's important to like kind of go slow. It's hard sometimes, though.
Well, that's the thing. We always want to race forward. It's that a whole idea of running a marathon is pacing yourself, because if you put your full steam in that beginning part, you're never going to make it to the finish line at any good time.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a long game. You know, it's not the short game. You got to play the long game with it.
So have you noticed much of a difference between having the 30 meat birds versus the 60?
So they're barely a couple weeks old right now, but I don't think there's much difference. I mean, it's still the same. You're still moving. Yeah, I have to move an extra chicken tractor, but it's still like the same process, you know, like 30 versus 60. It's not really that much different. The only difference I can see is when we actually butcher them. You know, it's going to take more time, you know, we'll instead of doing 30, we're doing 60, and I might divide that up between 2 days. I might do 30 one day and then maybe do another 30, maybe the following week or something.
Well, then you have staggered weight a little bit too.
What's that?
Then you also have somewhat of a staggered weight, because then you have ones that are just a week longer, so they'll weigh just a little bit more than the previous flock.
Right, definitely. And then also I'm doing something a little bit different this year too, is before I would always raise Freedom Rangers, and I really liked them, but I bought 30 Freedom Rangers this year, and then I bought 30 Cornish Crosses. So I'm just, my plan is just to compare the two and seeing which ones I like, you know, just kind of seeing the different mannerisms of them both, and seeing, you know, what they weigh at the end, and even see if they, which one tastes better. You know, like I've always heard, you know, people like the Cornish Crosses because, you know, they're faster, they're cheaper to raise. But I also think it's important to like figure it out myself. You know, like people ask me all the time, like, oh, how come you don't raise Cornish Crosses? And, you know, I want to be the one to be like, okay, this is why, you know, because I know from experience, not the fact that, you know, I've heard that they're this way, or I've heard, or someone told me this way, you know, like I want to like be the one to have experience and say, oh, you know, maybe I don't like them. I'm like, oh, I'm never doing that again. But, at least I would know, you know, for myself. And so, but I think what's also a good thing, I mean, about like the homesteading community here is, you know, we've been doing this about 3 years now. And so we usually go in halves with another family. Like we'll split the feed costs, we'll split the cost of the chickens, you know, they'll raise their own chickens, we'll raise our own chickens. And then at the end, when it's time to butcher, like we'll go over there and help them butcher their chickens. They'll come over here and help us butcher our chickens.
That's really nice.
It's been working out. I mean, and you know, since we've been doing it this long, like we've all got it down now. you know, like we're all pretty new at it at first, but now it's like we all kind of know what we're good at, and like we all pretty much can do it fairly quickly because we got used to it. And so we just kind of make it a big shindig and, you know, the kids are over and afterwards buy everybody ice cream and make a day of it. You know, it's kind of fun.
I know there are a couple of guys, Greg Burns, we've had on the podcast before, the Contrary Farmstead. He and his community, they do a thing called Hogtoberfest, where they get together and butcher a hog as a community together, the kind of their group. And I think that that's one of those things that's great about seeing in modern homesteading is that we're getting back to a lot of those older traditions. Because back in the old days, yeah, everyone got together and helped butcher because that's what they did. And it was a way of strengthening those community bonds and also an opportunity for fellowship together.
Oh, definitely. I see it. There's definitely a lot of that over here, and at least in this area too. I mean, actually, we're supposed to go to our friend's house in a couple of days to help them butcher their hog. And that's what's cool about it, because, you know, a lot of people, maybe one person knows how to do that, and they'll just invite people over, and maybe most of the time, you know, not everyone knows how to do that or never seen it before. And so it's just like a huge, like, learning experience for everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really great. It brings everyone together, like you said, like the community aspect of it. And everyone kind of learns. And I'm like, man, if anyone helps us butcher chickens, like, I'll give them a chicken.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's cool. And they like, oh, man, thank you. You know, they're not totally expecting that. But I'm like, here, take a chicken. Like, you guys helped us. Like, it's fine.
So you mentioned before that you guys came from the city, didn't know how to raise your own food. What led to deciding, you're a California boy, what led you to North Carolina?
Yeah, it was like the furthest out that we've looked.
They're only a couple of states farther away.
Right. We had some friends that were kind of homesteading in this area, and they would always tell us about this area. And so we looked at other places. I mean, we're from the Los Angeles area. So it was always like, oh man, that's too far out. We're never going to move there, because like all our family's in California. But, you know, really it started about 10 years ago. I was diagnosed with cancer. And so that really kind of got us thinking differently. Like we need to really look at what we're eating. And, you know, I did like 6 months of chemo, and it just, that started the whole process, this whole process of trying to figure out what's good, you know, what should we be eating? What should we be cutting out? And it led to us wanting to try to grow our own food. And that kind of evolved into this, where we're at now, like moving, you know, we basically sold a lot of our stuff, sold our house, and started looking for a place to, we wanted to grow our own food. And also I wanted to get out of the 9-to-5 office job that I had, and, you know, out of the traffic and out of the smog and kind of a little bit cleaner environment, and kind of all that kind of play within itself, and in which we ended up looking for different places. And we went here and spent like a week here, and had never been on the East Coast at all. And so we just kind of, well, let's go check it out. And so we really liked it. I mean, I think because maybe it was very, it's very different than Los Angeles.
Immensely.
Yeah, like night and day. Everything's different. Weather's different. People are different. I mean, and it was basically the community and the people here that we really fell in love with. And it has not been a disappointment at all. It's been everything that we imagined it could be. It has been. And even just for that week we were here, we kind of sensed that, you know, and it was just kind of a crazy moment to think that, I mean, just for being here a week, but I mean, we really like the community, and that's what kind of led us here.
I've actually been to Asheville once before. It was for a church conference that my family went to. And one of the things I loved about was Mount Airy is in that general area, which for those who don't know, that is Andy Griffith's hometown and kind of what Mayberry was based on. So it's really neat to get to visit there because you're literally going to visit Mayberry.
Yeah, I heard about that. I've been wanting to go to that little town, but I haven't made it yet.
You really need to. Granted, I'm also a fan of that show, so it meant something to me to be able to go see it. But besides just Asheville is a great area. Beautiful. It's right there with the Blue Ridge Mountains. Absolutely glorious. We're taking a quick pause here in the interview. I want to share with everyone listening about The Grocery Bag, top episodes of the podcast from farmers and agrarians with practicals for your farm and for your pantry. To receive The Grocery Bag, all you need to do is go onto our website, intellectualagrarian.com, and scroll to the bottom of the page where you can drop your email in the subscribe box. Then you'll find your groceries delivered to your inbox. We also want to plug that we have Intellectual Agrarian mugs for sale. That's right. You can now drink out of the same mug that I and my guests drink from. Whether you drink tea, coffee, or water, it's a beautiful drinking vessel with our Intellectual Agrarian logo on two sides. You can find those for purchase in our Facebook store. All you have to do is go onto Facebook and look for Intellectual Agrarian, and there, click our shop page. Now, let's get back to the interview. Now, talking about communities, you guys have recently had quite a busy weekend with two of the communities that you belong to. I'd first like to ask about the YouTube meetup. Was this specifically YouTubers involved in homesteading? Kind of what was it, and what did you enjoy about it?
Yeah, it was just, what's pretty amazing is that, you know, we never expected this when we moved here, but like, you know, there's a few, I guess, more popular YouTube channels that we all kind of live in this general area, and we're all friends. And so we just kind of got together one day and we're like, hey, or someone mentioned it, like, hey, we should just do like a YouTube North Carolina meetup. And since we're all kind of in the same area, we could just like meet up at a park and just promote it on everyone's YouTube channel or social medias. And just to kind of meet like people following us, you know, like meet other homesteaders in the area or maybe other people who have YouTube channels that we didn't know about. And so that's the first time we had done something like that where, you know, like us, like Justin Rhodes, Arden Bree, Hard Homestead, Farm Life Outfitters. And we had never got together like that. And so we weren't really too sure what to expect or how many people would even show up. So we got together at a park and it was actually a really great experience. It wasn't, I mean, there was quite a few people. I would say maybe a couple hundred people there, but it was good. It was nice just kind of talking to different people that maybe follow us, or, you know, they're just like, hey, we just wanted to, you know, even just shaking people's hands and like giving people a hug and just like, just telling them like, thank you for watching us. Thank you for following us. And it was just pretty interesting. And they're just telling us like their homesteading story. And, you know, it was pretty, I think it was a good experience. And I would hope that we can like maybe do one of those a year. I don't know if it'll happen, but I think at least once a year, I think it would be cool. Because I just think it's good to like just have an event like that so people can get together. And then other people were like meeting other people that lived in this area, you know, like otherwise, you know, maybe they wouldn't meet. And so this was kind of like a building like community of like-minded people that grow their own food or homestead, or even if not, they just want to like hang out and just meet new people, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like a great event. It's always interesting to see how that you can have people that do the same thing. They homestead and they're on YouTube, but are entirely different people than, say, you or your friend. It's, you get such variety, and that variety is part of what makes those conversations and that community interesting. It's the diversity in the community which makes it enjoyable. That's why we like going to a flower garden that is more than just roses or tulips.
Yeah, because we're basically like all homesteading channels, but like they may have, you know, one channel might have their community, you know, people that really like connect with their story. And then you have other people that connect with our story and maybe not know about the other people, you know? And then they're like, we're all kind of making these connections, but we're all basically under the same rough roof, you know? Like, we're all the same.
You're all in the same park.
Space. Yeah, we're all in this together, you know? Like, and it's cool just to meet and like, oh, I never heard of you guys, but like, oh, cool. You know, like, and then you meet in real life and you feel like this connection, mm-hmm. you know, and you feel like, oh, like, you know, these are our friends because we've actually met them.
Not another nameless username on the internet.
Right, right. We're real people, you know, everyone's real.
Hashtag everyone is real.
Yeah.
The other thing you guys did was go to the Mother Earth News Fair. How was that? I've been to a couple, and they always seem remarkably enjoyable. Can you tell us a little bit about the event and what you took away from it?
So we've been going the last 3 years since we've been in the Asheville area, because they don't have any of those in Los Angeles. And we've always read the magazine, and so we didn't even know they had them here until we moved here, and we're like, oh wow, they have the Mother Earth News Fair here. We got to go. So now we go every year, and we enjoy it. I mean, and we enjoy going to different vendors, and like I enjoy filming it, mm-hmm. even just to like go up to the vendors and be like, hey, you want to be on video? You know, like you want to be on my YouTube channel? And like, you know, they're always like, yeah, you know, I would love to. And so it's pretty nice just to kind of meet the vendors and see what they have to offer and like what they're selling and what they're making, and even meeting other people. You know, we met some other friends there just to kind of just spend the day there and hanging out. And I think we don't so much listen to the speakers just because we're just always just like walking around.
I totally understand.
Yeah, you know, we have a 7-year-old, so it's just kind of hard to like to sit there. So, but I don't know. I think it's just like the whole community aspect of it is just like really great. Like, it's just, it's like the meetup, you know, it's like you're meeting like everyone that you come across. It's like you're meeting your people, mm-hmm. you know, you're meeting like-minded people that they're kind of in the same spaces as we are. And just to meet people like that is pretty great. Like I enjoy it. I mean, I did the, I was with Amy from Soda Edible Podcast. She was doing a podcast there and one of the days, and I was on her podcast at the fair, which is kind of cool.
It's one of those awesome parts about being able to actually meet people in your community and take advantage of things like them having a media room where you can sit down and have a conversation with someone. One of the things you guys have also done recently is you've started your own podcast. Would you mind telling us a little bit about what made you decide to start it and where you see the podcast going forward?
Yeah, so the podcast is the the Land Podcast, and it's really just me and my wife. Really, I've been talking about it for a little while, and my wife's like, I don't know about, it's just, you know, because the YouTube thing, it can be very demanding, like mm-hmm. doing videos. And so with everything else that we have going on, like, I'm like, I don't know if we have time to do a podcast now, you know? I figured we'd try it and just kind of see where it goes. The idea with it was just that, you know, let's just talk about what we did for the week, you know, and I think people find some value in that. Maybe people who are looking to homestead or or who are homesteading and trying to figure out things. Like, it's almost like a behind the scenes look at everything that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Like maybe a little bit, like we'll talk about like a little background story on the videos that we've done. Or like what's going on this week, you know, like we'll be like, oh, I did, or we're like, we'll talk about a video like, oh, that, you know, we did this video this week. Oh, this is maybe we'll say like why we did this video or like, you know, what was our goal with the video, you know? And I think it just kind of gives people like a little, real world background on some of the things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, or like some of our thoughts, you know, we'll talk about like how we kind of found community here. You know, I think community is like huge right now. Like people are looking for their community and, you know, we talk about that. Something that I think is a little bit more intimate. Mm-hmm. And not so much in a video. And in a way, it's a lot easier to do a podcast than video, than doing YouTube.
I completely concur. Like,
yeah, because it's not edited. Even though we've been putting the podcast on our YouTube channel. So we'll video it. And then also, it's like we're doing two things at once. So we'll do the podcast. It's a podcast first, and then we'll just happen to have the video, the camera on. And so I edit it a little bit, but for the most part, I try to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. And because all our other videos are super edited. Mm-hmm. So in this way, it's like kind of a relief. You know, it's kind of a break to like, oh, I'm just going to set the camera there and we're just going to have a conversation and that's it. Like, I'm not going to super edit it or different camera angles, mm-hmm. which is kind of nice. And I think if it was coming, like, say if we started a podcast first and then we went into YouTube, I think that would have been, like, more difficult.
Yes.
Because it is such two different things.
They're different mediums of expression. But one of the things yeah. that's great about the audio format is it lends itself so well to the art of the conversation. That's why we get right. to have conversations like this.
Yes.
It sounds like you guys get a chance to use your podcast almost as a weekly summary or recap of what you guys have been doing on the farm, which is really great when you do a lot of different things.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's really good. I mean, it helps us to just kind of share more of our story and I guess make it almost almost personal to people. You know, I think sometimes, or maybe like a real world experience, because I think sometimes people can kind of get romantic about the homesteading lifestyle. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I know we did. Mm-hmm. We did prior to actually doing it. I mean, it's very romantic thinking when you see all these pretty pictures on Instagram. But I think when we're just having a real conversation and we're just sharing what we're doing, it kind of brings it down a little bit and brings it more like real life. Mm-hmm.
There's actually dirt involved in the process.
Yes. There's actually like ups and downs, like especially, you know, we're kind of doing our own thing, you know, as far as like work and stuff. And so there's definitely, it's not all roses every day.
And thank goodness for that diversity, because otherwise life would just get boring. And that's the whole reason you start yeah. a homestead, is you don't want to be boring.
Right. Definitely. I think if I wanted to stay comfortable, we would have stayed in Los Angeles.
It's certainly a different lifestyle, I'm sure. Actually, one of the questions yeah. I have here, it involves those digital skills that you've developed. You've been homesteading for about 3 years now, and during that time you guys have been doing YouTube. What was it that led to starting the YouTube channel?
So, you know, we moved, you know, in North Carolina. And so all our family, pretty much all of our family we're all pretty much an hour from each other in Los Angeles. Like we all live there. And so when we moved out east, I don't think our family really fully understood why we wanted to do that.
Understandable.
You know, like, and I still maybe think maybe a few people don't understand. So we started to get these, you know, people would call us, our family and friends, and, you know, because we lived in that area our whole lives. So we never lived anywhere else. And so we would get people contacting us, hey, what's it like out there? Like, how's the weather? Because a lot of our family, they'd never been out this way. And so they would just ask, like, what are you guys growing? Like, just kind of like just everyday questions. And so, you know, I started to like do a little short video with my phone and just like emailing like 20 people. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of got old after a little bit. And so I figured, and this was about a year after we started living here. I mean, we were always posting on Instagram, like a picture here and there, and kind of telling our story through that platform. But then after we started getting these questions from family, I thought, okay, why don't I just start a YouTube channel and then just send people the link and then they can watch it whenever they can.
Yeah.
And so that just seemed a lot easier than sending out emails. And so that's really the reason why I started the YouTube channel, was for to keep our family back at home up to date on what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. And then it scales well at that point.
You know, I had never done video, or I don't have a video background or anything like that. And so I just started using my phone and started shooting video with my phone, a little short video. And I was almost treating YouTube as an Instagram, mm-hmm. where I would, even if you looked at our very first few videos, they're like a minute long. Mm-hmm. And it's just me moving chickens or something like that. It was just really short. And then they kind of evolved. It just kind of evolved from there. And I really got into it. And I really like started to really like enjoy it, like telling a story for the day. And then it kind of evolved where it was like progression, you know. I think we're over 450 videos in now.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, it's just evolved, like just learning. If, I mean, you should progress as you do more of it, you know. And I've grown to really love it. And I really like shooting video, editing, all of that. Like, I really enjoy the whole process. I think it was, you know, I've always just thought it was just for our family that are watching these videos, that care to watch these videos, like my mom and grandma. But I think it was about 6 months after we started doing YouTube is, I get this random email from somebody. And this lady, I didn't even know. She's like, hey, I know you're in the Asheville area. Just by watching your videos, I could tell you're in the Asheville area. And she goes, do you mind if me and my family come to your farm? And I was like, I thought it was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. The first time, you know, I didn't know this lady. She's asking me to come to our farm. And, you know, first of all, I feel like it's weird that we'll call it a farm. And so she started saying that, you know, the reason why is because I guess she had a couple kids. And so one of them was eating a pickle. And so, you know how sometimes a pickle has a stem at the end of it?
Yeah.
You know, it's from a cucumber. Mm-hmm. So she was explaining to them, like, oh, well, it came from a cucumber, and that's how cucumbers grow. And so they didn't understand. Like, they had never seen, like, food grow in a garden. They had never seen it before. And so even, I think, mom and dad, like, they remember maybe when they were little, seeing a garden grow, but they'd never really been around it. And so she just wanted me to like show them the garden and show them how food's growing. And so I thought, okay, yeah, sure. You know, come out. And so they came out, super nice family. Like, they ended up living like 3 minutes from us.
Oh, wow.
And they found us on YouTube. And so they came out, like we our garden was really growing at that time. And we had a bunch of cucumbers growing. And I was like, look, this is where the pickle comes from. And we had baby chickens. They were holding the chickens. Like, they're eating tomatoes from our garden. Like, and just to see, like, their faces light up when they were just like, wow, look at all this food. And like, look at how it's growing. And it was just like an amazing experience. I mean, for them and for us, just to kind of like, wow, you know, like, I mean, I'm just thinking like, okay, here we are, this, we're just from Los Angeles and we just moved out here, and these people are asking me to show them how food is growing in the garden. Mm-hmm. That just like, I mean, there's so many awesome farmers out here. There's so many like great farmers in this area and homesteaders. And and she found us somehow and wanted me to show her. Like, I felt like, wow, like, who, like, I just feel like, who am I? I'm, you know, like, I'm still learning this stuff. I don't even know what I'm doing. But, so we sent them home with a bag full of groceries, like, you know, a whole bunch of vegetables. They messaged me that same night and said, you know what, we made a giant salad with everything that you gave us. And they were just super thankful. And I thought, man, like, after that day, I realized that it wasn't just our family that was watching us anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like more people are finding us and feeling inspired by our story and learning things as we learn things. And I just realized that, you know, we need to keep on telling our story, and because I think it could just change people's way of thinking.
Yeah. It's like having a little mini version of Food Inc. almost with every time you buy. I mean, that's the great thing about the modern age. Not the great thing, but one of the great things about the modern age is that it affords us the ability to share and communicate those stories with an audience that is looking for it.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it makes it more obtainable, I think, when you see like an average person learning or growing food. It's like, for me anyways, like I'll see somebody doing something and I'm like, well, you know, this guy's no special than me. Like, I could do that if he could do it, mm-hmm. You know, it makes it more obtainable, like, I think, to people.
Absolutely. Like we were talking about earlier, it encourages us that we can start with baby steps and move our way up. In fact, you have taught a course, I believe, on digital, how homesteaders can build digital skills. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that? And I just think it's interesting how most of the time when we think of homesteading, we don't think technology. However, would you mind addressing the role of technology in the modern homestead?
Yeah, I think it comes down to, well, first of all, like, yeah, I was asked to do a talk at called the Organic Grower School. They have it every year here in the Asheville area. And it's just like a big like conference, and they have all these workshops and people teaching. And so they asked me to teach this type of class. It wasn't, I mean, I don't think it's still fairly new, I believe, this like digital homesteading in this homesteading space and farming space, because like you said, it is digital. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think of homesteading or farming, you don't think of computer at all. Or social media or any of that. So I remember walking around at the school, like I have a badge on that said like digital homesteading and everyone else is teaching classes on, you know, like farming, you know, like growing food, like digging in the dirt. And here I am. And they're asking me, hey, what are you teaching? And I'm like, digital homesteading. And they're like, they look at me like, what is that? It was kind of funny. Still think it's very new in this space, but I also think it's one of the most important things to learn, because I think, you know, I think it comes down to sharing ideas and sharing story. I mean, how people communicate nowadays is through social media. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like it or not, I mean, this is how we communicate. Through Instagram, through Facebook, through YouTube, you know, I mean, the family I just spoke about, I mean, they live like a few minutes from me and they found me through YouTube. And, you know, this is how we communicate. And I think especially in this homesteading space, in this farming space. I mean, I think we all, like, I've met so many other homesteaders that are not on social media, that don't do it at all. But I think we all have like a really unique story. Mm-hmm. And I think more of us need to tell these stories and talk about it. And I think using these platforms is a good way of doing it, and it can help inspire other people to maybe grow their own food or live a more healthy lifestyle or eat healthier, and showing other people that you can do these things. Otherwise, they may not even know that certain things exist. Mm-hmm. Because social media is the way people communicate. Because otherwise, how would people know about things? So many things that I know, like, is through social media, really. I think we need to be more... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's, I think, one of those things that we tend to overlook. It's very easy to play the Luddite card and say, I wash my hands of it, I'm not going to deal with this modern XYZ, but you miss out the opportunity to connect with those people who won't hear about it in any other way.
I mean, I think also, especially if you have like a farming business or a market garden, I think you need to be on social media and active on it. You know, you need to be... I think YouTube is a good way of doing it. And it's also one of those things where you're being transparent on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're like a market garden, if you're selling at a farmer's market or something like that, like, I think it's important to be transparent in like how you grow your food so that people can see that you don't spray or you grow organically or, you know, and they can trust you because you're posting about it and you're talking about it. Mm-hmm. And they feel like they know you. Once they see you face to face at a farmer's market, they're like, oh, I follow this guy on Instagram. Like, I'm going to buy from this guy because, you know, he posts all the time and his produce looks so good. And I can trust that he grows his food in an organic way. And, you know, I'm going to support him. You know, like, I feel like I know him, even though I don't really. Mm-hmm. But, I think, I mean, in the business part, I think it's important, but then also I think people forget about the story aspect of it and inspiring people. I think that's the main thing, and building this community of like-minded people just trying to like live a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
What are some quick tips you'd give someone who, let's say they're a homesteader listening to this podcast and they want to start a YouTube channel? What are some good first steps that they can take?
I would start just whatever you have. Usually people have a nice phone, like an iPhone or a decent phone. Like, I wouldn't buy a camera or a tripod. I wouldn't do any of that. I would just start on whatever you have and go from there. I mean, that's what I did. And you may not, you know, it's not for everybody. You might not like enjoy the camera or even editing, because I know a lot of people don't like editing. But maybe it's just one of those things where it's that first step of sharing your story. And you might find that you might not enjoy YouTube, but maybe you enjoy talking to people. Maybe a podcast is the way to go. You know, or maybe you enjoy writing and maybe a blog is the right way to go. Or maybe you just want to do Instagram, and that's fine too. You know, maybe you just rather just show pictures and do a description or talk about your story that way. But I feel like it's important just to get out there and start somewhere and just to tell your story. But like for YouTube, like I would just start with your phone. And, you know, I think people think that they don't have anything to film because they may think like, oh, I'm not doing anything today. Like, what am I going to film? You know, like, what if, like, I'm not doing anything. You know, sometimes you just don't feel like you're doing anything.
Yeah.
But I think you know, but I think it's important to, for, you know, I struggle with this a little bit still, but to document what you're doing versus creating what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's very difficult to create something, you know,
yes.
For me, like I want the perfect shot, the perfect lighting, you know, the perfect song, you know, I want to say the perfect thing, but like that takes time. That takes time to do those things. And so if you think about it as just documenting your day, whatever it is that you're doing for the day, if it's mowing your lawn, if it's pulling weeds, if it's feeding chickens, you might think like that's just an everyday thing. That's nothing exciting. But I think, you know, it goes back to when I was working in the office in Los Angeles. I remember watching videos of people pulling weeds. Watching a video, like a whole 10-minute video of somebody pulling weeds. I was in my office. And after the video, I remember thinking like, did I just watch somebody pull weeds? But at the moment, like, I wanted to be that guy pulling weeds.
Mm-hmm.
Like I, you know, like he's sweaty, dirty, and like, but like he's talking about these weeds and knows so much about them. And like, he's outside, you know, like here I am in my cubicle and I'm looking at this guy. I'm like, man, I want to be this guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be in my cubicle. And so I think about that. I don't want to ever forget that feeling. And so when we think that we have nothing to share or nothing to talk about or nothing to YouTube about, I mean, to somebody, it's very inspiring to somebody, I think, because I know for a fact that, you know, I'm that person now pulling the weeds on the video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I know somebody's in their office watching me.
It's farm ASMR.
On YouTube. Yeah. And so they're feeling maybe like how I felt, you know, 5 years ago. I think we all have a unique story, you know, and I think we just need to don't forget that and just document whatever it is that we're doing and share the journey, you know, document the journey of homesteading, of showing people what you're doing for the day and seeing what story comes out of it.
Mm-hmm. Jason, thank you so much for sharing this with us today and sharing your story today. Where can people go to learn more about you and your work?
Yeah, we have our own YouTube channel, Sow the Land, and also we have our own website called Sow the Land. And, you know, we're on Instagram, Facebook, and, you know, we also have our own shop space in Asheville at Atomic Furnishing and Design. And we're on all those platforms.
And we'll link to all of that in the show notes. Jason, thank you again so much for being on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. That was fun.
Big thanks to Jason for joining us on the podcast today. Be sure to check out their website, YouTube channel, and podcast. All this and more can be found in the show notes. If you're new to the show, please subscribe on whatever your podcast player of choice is. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, CastBox, Overcast, Stitcher, and many more. While you are there, please take the time to leave us a nice review, letting others know how great the show is. Thank you again for listening. This has been Terrence Lehue and the Intellectual Agrarian Podcast, reminding you to keep farming the dream.